Okay. We are back from recess. It's 9:30, and we have the MoDOT monthly update. How are you doing today?
I'm fine.
Good. Do you want to sit down right here, or would you like us
to
move the...
I'm making sure I have everything I need.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted the podium moved over for you, if you want to sit down at the table there.
I usually sit
We've got a microphone over there too, so that's fine. Yeah, I didn't see that one there. It's blended in with the chair.
Sorry, the day of the meeting.
Nice to meet you, Brandon Williams.
Sorry, this whole thing moves. I've got a couple of things. The first thing I'd like to update you on is we are in the process of updating our long-range plan. We do that about every 5 years. And as part of that, we've decided to do a little more aggressive outreach to the communities. Normally, we update our five-year plan, or every 5 years, our long-range plan, by interacting with our planning partners like the RPCs, the cities and counties, and we feel like we're getting the projects that we need to on the list for the long-range plan, but maybe we're not getting as much community feedback as we need. So we're actually doing a more aggressive campaign where we're going out. Like myself, I will try to meet with like chambers of commerce and Lions clubs and that type of thing and tell them about basically the state of transportation in Missouri, how we get our funding, you know, where the funding is coming from, what's happened in the last 10 years with MoDOT and where we're at financially now. Trying to convey the message that we've had a lot of good things happen in the last 10 years between the passage of Amendment 3 and also some ERA funds that we had received. The state actually received a good portion of ERA funds because we were in a good position to, you know, they wanted boots on the ground immediately. And so we were in a really good position because we had pre-planned, and so we received probably, you know, some additional funds that other states didn't receive. And so that's been kind of the last 10 years. We've spent about $11.6 billion on transportation projects in the state of Missouri in the last 10 years. We've been 4% under budget with all those projects, and we're, as of this year, 95% of those projects come in on time or before the contract completion date. So we feel like we've got a lot of things to brag about as far as transportation and as far as safety features. We've been putting a lot of safety features in, the guard cables on the interstate, a lot of the shoulders with the rumbles, that type of thing. We've seen a significant decrease in fatalities throughout the state. It's been a national trend, but our state, I think, has really been leading the pack there. We went from over 1,200 fatalities per year in 2007 when we first started our campaign. And as of 2012, we had gotten down below 800. 2012 was a little bit of a bad year. We popped up to about 825 fatalities. We've set a new goal because we'd met the goal in 2011. We've got a goal now of reducing fatalities on state throughout the state to under 700 fatalities by 2016, and that helps us stay focused with directing funds towards safety. It also helps us get law enforcement and safety personnel on board. We have periodic meetings with all those groups that really helps with drunk driving enforcement, and we have the no texting campaigns and things like that, and it helps with getting an organized group behind that and also getting a little bit of funding behind that. So those are some of the good things that have been going on. And then we've just been trying to keep people informed that we need to know about all their transportation needs. You know, we tend to focus, being what we are, we tend to focus on the roads and bridges. But we're also responsible, either directly or indirectly, for the ports, the airports, transit, pedestrian and bicycle facilities. And we kind of saw a lack of that input in our long-range plan. So we've been trying to reach out to people and find out if that's something that we need to be more inclusive with, because we never know where funding is going to come from these days. I mean, it's been pretty rough. going. The gas tax has not been increased since 1992 was the last time the legislature voted to increase the gas tax. So Missouri is setting at 17 cents, which is the lowest gas tax of all our surrounding states. The federal gas tax is 18.4 cents on each gallon of gas. That's been the same since 1995, I think. So both of those have not moved in a really long time. So basically the revenue's flat and the costs are increasing. So that's where we're at as far as cost. So we're basically telling people, hey, we're going to have to make some hard choices here. What's your priorities? And in conjunction with that, that is our data gathering, inclusive campaign to try to get people more involved in transportation. Also, as kind of a sidebar to that, our commission, who is appointed by the governor, came forward and I don't know if you were aware of it or not, but they had a Blue Ribbon Citizens Committee that had gone around the state last summer and fall. They were actually appointed by the state legislature because they were worried about the state of transportation and they saw we had a lack of funding and they wanted to know what people's priorities were. Well, they did a tour and then they did a final document, kind of a summary of what they found. Based on that, our commission came out in January with a recommendation, what they're calling a proposal for transportation's future, and basically a recommendation that we try to pass a 1 cent sales tax. And they give a detailed description of what that 1 cent sales tax would do. And that was our commission. You know, they're politically appointed. They can make recommendations about funding. As a result of that, it has come to our attention that there actually is now there is a Senate bill and a House bill that had been filed for basically what the commission had proposed, a 1 cent sales tax for transportation. It would be a 10-year sunset type of tax. From what I've heard so far, MoDOT would be expected to come up with a list of projects that could be done within that 10-year time frame and within the expected revenues, which the expected revenues, I think, are right around $7.9 billion in a 10-year period. Of that, both bills have a proposal for 10% of that to go to cities and counties, split evenly, so actually 5% would go to counties and 5% would go to cities. I haven't read anything yet, because that's basically, as a MoDOT employee, I'm just reading what comes out in the news, but I haven't read anything yet that says that the cities and counties would be held to, you know, coming up with a 10-year plan like we will have to come up with. But we'll have to do an annual report to the legislature and tell them where the money's going, how it's being spent, if this should pass. Also, if this should pass, right now, if it goes through the normal process, the vote would come about in November of 2014. So it's quite a ways out. The bill has been through the first hearing at the subcommittees in the House and the Senate. They had several entities speak in favor of the bills, and I think in each case they had two entities that spoke against. The entities that were speaking in favor obviously were our director for MoDOT, also several entities related to construction, obviously, because they stand to gain greatly. But we also have, from what I could tell, looked like there was a lot of support from, private, like Chamber of Commerce type of leadership, people that are interested in the economic impacts of transportation. The opposition I saw was one gentleman from St. Louis that was concerned about the sales tax. He would prefer to see it as a gas tax or something that was more related to transportation. As I said before, the gas tax is kind of a declining proposition for us because people are actually using less fuel, and it's taxed per gallon. So as long as fuel economy gets better, which is what's been mandated and what people will naturally do because of their own pocketbooks, our revenues will continue to decline, as will the counties, because the county gets part of the state gas tax also. So that's about all I know about the 1 cent sales tax. That's what I've been reading up on the internet. Do you guys have any questions about either one of those, the On the Move campaign or the one since
we appreciate you bringing that forward over the internet. We were updated on this at our commissioners meeting 2 weeks ago,
guess,
in Jeff City. And actually, again, at last week at the MAC meeting.
Okay, yes.
We were updated on it.
Good,
so,
wonderful.
Appreciate the you bringing the public up to date online here. One thing that I was going to ask is when you said that different counties, cities, and this and that, our transportation board has made a large effort to address the needs of Taney County through the zoning part of it, and those are listed with the county in priorities from small projects that are county projects up to combined state projects. I want to personally say thank you for the rumble strips that were at the T Highway project that we discussed. I know that you had to be the one that put that into place because the conversation was between the county commission and yourself to make sure that that was a safety issue that was taken care of. I was surprised it happened as quick as it did because we had had a discussion about that, and you said you would work on it, and I come through there one day, and there they were. So that kind of thing, although it be small, I think that other areas throughout the state that I noticed those little old sort of things would be something that we would like to do because that definitely cuts down on the possibility of an accident or a fatality. And really appreciate your effort going forward with that. I guess Randy keeps you probably updated on the transportation board's progress or their recommendations.
Yeah, I try to attend their meetings as much as possible.
Yeah. And so that's something that working cooperatively, I think we can get our projects out there to you to be presented to the commission and maybe get some approval on. I have a great interest in what's going to go on down here at the bridge. What we mainly heard about was what we read in the paper as far as the county, although we would be involved as receiving the complaints or the what's happening. This morning I stopped in McDonald's for a cup of coffee, uh-huh. and there was two tables of gentlemen that asked me about the bridge situation. And so your plans for the upcoming bridge is a replacement or a dual bridge is what their question was to me.
Okay. Where we're at in the planning and design process, it is so early on right now that I really don't know that the answer to that question. Currently, the bridge is slated for construction improvements in 2017. That is far enough out that we are focused on projects that are coming up in the next year or two. We do have some, I looked at the STIP, our statewide transportation improvement plan. I looked at it this morning, and we do have some engineering design funds set aside for a little bit this year, and then it looks like it picks up in the next 2 to 3 years. So I would expect them to start looking at it a lot more closely probably the following. Our fiscal year starts in July, so I would say sometime next year or the following year I'll have a lot more information. But until they really move from another, you know, from what projects they're working on now to the new projects, I don't have much information.
Okay.
Because of our concern and because of the concerns that were brought forward to us at the last public meeting, I guess, that was had on this several years ago, we know that we need to try to keep that bridge open or provide some type of access across the lake at all times. Our assumption was that that's probably going to involve us having to build a new bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just an assumption at this point. If another alternative came along and we could still provide access, we might end up doing something else. But we really aren't far enough into the process yet to know 100% for sure.
The last thing I heard was the 2017. Then I seen a newspaper article that was addressing it with the mayor of the city of Forsyth and some of his concerns, and actually was concerned about the fact that the county is the one that ends up with a lot of the questions. We can't afford to have that bridge shut down for any period of time for not only what effect it has financially on the county, but the safety issue behind everything, and the 76 route to our hospitals and things like that. So I appreciate that you've cleared that up. I'll be able to give them a direct answer. It's the same as it's always been, and 2017 is the shoot date on it, but until then we have no definite answer to the question of what's going to happen at the bridge.
Yeah, and it's just because we work through projects that are you know, in our five-year commitment, and
right.
It's far enough out that we're working on other projects right now.
All right.
So
appreciate
it'll come up in the order it's been assigned.
Appreciate you clearing that up so that we have the answers to the phone calls and the questions that come to a county commission.
Yeah, and I understand that there's a great deal of pressure to commit to something very specific, but it's just, like I said, just because of the fact that it's far enough out, we've made a commitment. We know that we'll be doing some type of rehabilitation to the bridge or possibly constructing a new bridge, but the big commitment that I keep hearing from our senior management is we've heard the local concern about keeping access open, and we will find a way to do that.
All right. Thank you so much.
I had a couple other things on my list. Did you have any questions?
Nope.
I'm sorry. Couple of things on my list. I wanted to update you guys on the Boulder five-year direction. That's our plan that we entered into a couple of years ago to try to save money because of budget constraints. Our goal is to save about $540 million. I'll be off a little bit on that.
$512 million, according to you.
$512, I apologize.
Is this it?
Okay, thank you.
Is that right?
I should use my cheat sheet. We are about, I would say, about two-thirds of the way there. The last update I saw was from December, and I apologize, I don't have the February update, but the last one I had from December was that we have saved about $354 million of that. We're actually below the salaried employee level that we want to be because we had a hiring freeze on, and we actually had more employees leave employment with MoDOT through, you know, finding other positions or through retirement. And so we had some areas where we actually were getting too low, and specifically maintenance. We had a hiring freeze on, and maintenance, mainly because of retirements, was getting lower than the numbers we had committed to. So we had said originally we weren't going to start rehiring people until like April of this year, but we went ahead and took a look at where all our numbers were, and we started rehiring late last fall. So we wanted to get our maintenance numbers back up over the winter because we knew we had snow pushing commitments and that type of thing. So I know we've gotten our numbers back up. I don't think that they're at full capacity yet, but we're getting real close. The other thing that we have done is get rid of several buildings. We're making good progress on that. We're also working on reducing fleet and just looking for ways to streamline our processes. And I think we've had discussions about snow removal and some of those processes before, and we'll keep tweaking that, and you know what works and what doesn't work. We'll expand on what works and we'll fix what doesn't work. That's our commitment, is to make sure we keep our employees and the traveling public safe. That's our number one priority. So I wanted to update you on that, and then I also had a list of construction projects for the summer, which I think you guys were aware of most of them, but I wanted to go through the list real quick just to make sure we didn't have any questions come up on that. Let's see. I think you're aware that we're going to be overlaying 160 out here, basically from 65 all the way into Forsyth, actually down to... Is it down to 76? I apologize. We're going to be overlaying it, adding shoulders and rumbles where we can. We aren't acquiring any right-of-way. This is how we've been doing all these projects where we're adding the two-foot shoulders with a rumble. We do it with an existing right-of-way. So there may be areas where we're really unable to capture that two-foot shoulder, but we're trying to get the two-foot shoulder in and the rumble in all locations where we can. Along with that, as a separate project, but kind of in conjunction with that, we're also doing some intersection improvements on 160. Those will be at F and 160. The through movement will change from F to 160. And so the people coming from the west will have to stop there at the 160 junction. And we'll have a little island and some things that will change that and make it very evident that you need to stop and that the F traffic has the right-of-way.
We have an inside joke about F and 160, so
I've learned really quick after I moved down here. That's a hot topic. So
we just have an inside joke about it. So.
We're also doing improvements at the intersection of H and 160, and then the 176 intersection, and then the name of the city street has left me. Right when you get into the city limits. Thank you, Casey. I knew it started with a C. I apologize. But we're doing improvements at Casey Road, too. So that should help a great deal. We are aware, and we're keeping it, you know, in the forefront, that additional improvements need to be made to this corridor. You know, for talking about our long-range plan earlier, that's one of the corridors that we want to make sure stays in that plan because we see needs with, you know, probably like a three-lane section at least through Forsyth to provide turn lanes, that type of thing. Safety improvements on 160. The shoulders and rumbles are great, but if we actually had some additional funding to, you know, actually acquire right-of-way and eliminate some curves and that type of thing. Same way with F. We get a whole, you know, there's a lot of traffic on F. You know, little things that we could do to improve the alignment there would go a long ways. We don't have a whole lot. We're also overlaying 176 down to from 65 down to 160 this year. We're doing improvements south of the lake there at 265. We're overlaying that area south of the dam. We're doing some little drainage improvements out around the Bee Creek Road area where the Branson Hills shopping center is. We've had problems that I think we've pretty well addressed, but we're still concerned about hydroplaning on 65 as you're kind of coming through that area there as you're coming north.
Right there underneath that bridge?
Yeah,
that's
in that area.
Been an issue.
Yeah, and we had milled it, and it's gotten a lot better when you look at the accident history. We always monitor accident history, and it's gotten significantly better since they did the milling. But we took a look at it, and we had some concerns that we had too much water sheeting across there, and we're going to try to capture that. So, but it's a fairly small improvement. We're working with the city of Branson. I'm not sure their schedule yet, but I think you've probably seen in the paper, they've got big improvements planned for 76 Country Boulevard through town. And they're also looking at downtown improvements. So, I'll be sitting on both of those committees and, you know, getting our feedback and input into those. So that's coming up in the future. And I think that's mainly it for next year. You can kind of tell that our construction schedule is slowing down. We went from a high of $1.2 billion to, I think, just over $600 million this year, about half. So it's a significant decrease. I would like to publicly state that it is a joy to work with a county that has stepped up and partnered with us on several projects. You guys have really enabled projects to take place down in this area. Needed projects that unfortunately, you know, our budgets and your budgets keep us from paying for the whole thing, but when we can partner together and even bring other partners in, it works great. So I appreciate that. And then the last thing was we had a planning partners meeting last Friday, and the Southwest Missouri Council of Governments was represented at that meeting. It was a meeting of all the RPCs. We got together with the regional and local priorities that SMCOG had taken from each county, and then they had voted within SMCOG, and took them and competed with the rest of the RPCs. I think there's actually four altogether for our district, because there's 21 counties. And I think SimCog came out pretty well, and I think Taney County came out pretty well. We'll be, and we were already kind of planning on doing this anyway, but we'll be looking at the intersection improvements on Route 76 at Lakeshore. We were looking at that, and then the group as a whole ranked that as fairly high, so that puts a little more emphasis or pressure on us to work that into our schedule. We already had a drainage issue that we were wanting to address there, but I think we're going to try to get with the county or city or whoever and try to see if we can't expand that project out and at least, scope it out and find out how much it would cost to do a more significant intersection improvement there at Lakeshore and 76. And then, let's see. As I said before, we're keeping the 160 corridor, even though we're doing small improvements this year, we're keeping it on the list, and it actually ranked fairly high as a district-wide priority for, continuing to make improvements to that corridor. That made the list from Taney County. And let's see, I thought there was one more. The regional corridors. We're looking at 76, improvements to 76. We are scoping right now improvements at the intersection of Indian Point Road and 76 that serves Silver Dollar City. They made improvements several years ago. I know this is just outside your county lines, but it directly affects traffic and tourism in your area. So they made improvements, and so traffic used to back up because of their parking concerns, but now traffic backs up because there's only a single left turn lane on 76. So we're just starting to look at that with Silver Dollar City. There will be some type of funding probably come from that, depending on what the scoping is there. But we're working with them on that. We are actually, we already have scheduled, I need to find that, we already have scheduled an improvement for where the little section between the high road 465 and 265. There's like a couple of really nasty curves right there. And we're actually taking those curves out and making a four-lane section from 465 to 265. And so that will tie into the four-lane that's already there from 265 over to Branson West, or over to Silver Dollar City is the four-lane. So that'll tie in. And we're just getting through the right-of-way plan stage and into the final plan stage on that. So I think that's supposed to occur next year. But that'll be a nice little improvement. We're making headway into these corridors. We just don't have the funding to make big sweeping improvements, but we're chugging along with small improvements as we can. So,
good.
Anything else?
Appreciate your help. Thank you.
Feel free to call anytime. I'll give you my card. So we're
thank
good.
You very much.
All right. Thank you.
Mr. Hayes, anything else? Again, thank you very much, Beth.
Thank you.
We have a legal notice. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Over the past few years, we've only been publishing in one newspaper for most of our elections. That was due to complaints from our smaller political subdivisions focusing on the statute that requires only to publish in one newspaper within the county. However, there's been a lot of complaints from voters that they're not getting to see the ballot language prior to the election. So I contacted all of our political subdivisions that have issues on the ballot to find out whether or not they wanted to be in either the Branson Tri-Lakes newspaper or the Taney County Times or in both. The part of the problem with that is that there is a statute that says the full ballot has to be published. So even if we were to put one political subdivision in Branson Tri-Lakes newspaper, I would have to put the full ballot in the Taney County Times. So we're discussing that with those political subdivisions, and at this point we have three that want us to put it into both newspapers. So that brings me to Taney County, who has got the library tax on the ballot this time, and I need to find out from you commissioners if you want it in both newspapers or just in the Taney County Times newspaper.
What's going to better serve, you know, citizens of Taney County?
Well, I think as elected officials, we want all voters to participate in an election. So you know that most people don't take both of the newspapers. So I think it would better serve the voters of Taney County to have it in both newspapers.
I see that as your decision, Donna. You're the chief election authority, and I think that whatever you decide on something like that is what we need to do. And I think that both papers, as I've argued that point for years, that the coverage of, even when we do our bids, the coverage of the entire county is not complete with one newspaper.
I agree. But I've been asked by the commission to only publish it in one newspaper in the past. So that's why I'm coming to you now, because I'm not putting this election on. I'm only running it for Taney County. Just as I'm running it for the school districts and running it for the cities and villages. So I think it's up to those politicals. Now, I still have to follow the law and put the full ballot in one of the two newspapers, which I can do that. But if they do request me to put their particular issue in another newspaper, a secondary newspaper, then I'm going to follow their request. And, of course, they'll pay for it. So, of course, your payment for the election comes out of my budget. You build that right into my budget. But I still think that I don't have the authority to order it to be into two newspapers. You know, if you choose not to make a decision, then by default, I'll only put it into one newspaper. But I do believe to serve the entire county, we should be putting it into both newspapers.
It's our issue, correct?
I believe so.
It's the commission's. Before I came on, it was put on the ballot, correct? It was voted to be put on the ballot. Is my understanding?
Yeah.
Okay. So you need to know if we want it on, because it's our issue, you need to know if we want it on two papers or in one paper.
I made the argument when the bids came out that I wanted both.
You want it in two papers?
Yes.
So do we need a motion? We need a motion to put it in both papers to order you. To request or to order you to do that? Is that what you're
needing?
Yes. Okay.
You order me to put the election on the ballot, so I think this would require a motion.
A motion to direct the clerk to put the ballot in both papers.
Second, we have a motion to direct county clerk to put the library ballot issue in both papers, or in, when I say both papers, do you need to know the specifics?
We have two newspapers that cover the entire county that meet the statutory requirements.
So Taney County Times and Branson Tri-Lakes News?
Yes.
Okay. So the motion would be to put them in those two papers?
Yes.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion
Thank
carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. We have a 230 license agreement that's going to be held probably via conference call according to the agenda, so we're going to stand in recess until 2:30. At that time, we will have the conference call, and it will be with
call the clerk's office.
I'll say it'll be with the clerk's office as well, so
yeah.